Back home now, and for many Australian Defence Force veterans, readjusting to civilian life can be difficult. But for some, this minefield is even harder to navigate because they're being turned away when seeking psychiatric help for post-traumatic stress disorder. The World Today has been investigating this, and a warning, this report from Connie Agius contains some disturbing details.
The sound of an ambulance driving across a bridge or going through a tunnel. They can all trigger anxiety or a panic attack for this former RAAF pilot.
If I get too anxious and I feel that I can't, for example, control a car or control myself, I feel extremely insecure and extremely scared for no apparent reason, and then I'm immediately thinking, oh no, I hope I don't think about the images I saw of the guy with his hands chopped off, or the time they were shoveling up the faces off the bitumen, or thinking about the guys I've seen wounded and dying and in rehab.
The 46-year-old first sought help when he was serving in Iraq and Afghanistan, but only after leaving the Air Force was he diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. And when he reached out for help again in Australia, it wasn't easy.
There was many, many months delay, and then I think the price was about $320-odd for a first consultation, which was about a week or 2 weeks' worth of my dole payments, and I went, well, it's difficult to pay.
After moving from regional Queensland to Brisbane, he applied to the Department of Veteran Affairs for a white card. It's a government-funded health card, which means that veterans don't have to pay out of their own pocket. But it didn't eliminate all the problems.
I was referred to a psychiatrist who specialised in PTSD issues. When I rang them up and said, can I make an appointment? They went, well, we have to see your referral first. I put down the phone, and within 5 minutes, the receptionist rang me back and said, hey, we found your referral. And I said, great, see you on Tuesday. And she went, no, the doctor is now taking no new patients. And I basically begged her. I said, this is a simple thing. I just need some medication. And she just said no.
Other veterans too have told the ABC they're being turned away when seeking help for post-traumatic stress disorder. Brian Hardigan was in the Army for 12 years.
I took the referral, phoned for an appointment, and his secretary told me straight up, his books have been closed for 4 years. He doesn't take any patients of any type.
And then there was another delay.
So it took me more months to go back to my GP to get a second referral, and I was told that he had appointments available in about 6 weeks' time. So I sent my paperwork to them, and then 2 days later the secretary rang me back and said, I'm very sorry, but doctor is not willing to take on any more DVA patients at this time. That was a slap in the face for someone who had built himself up to actually go through this process.
In a statement, the Department of Veteran Affairs says it's aware that some healthcare providers don't accept DVA arrangements, but doesn't think it's a widespread issue that affects access to clinical treatment. And it adds that there's a steady increase in the number of psychiatrists providing services to veterans. However, the Australian Medical Association acknowledges problems with the system. Its president is Dr. Michael Gannon.
There's no ability for doctors to raise a gap above the DVA schedule, as there is for patients supported by Medicare. And this is another example of the long-term consequences of the six-year freeze we've seen on rebates.
The Department of Veteran Affairs says that under current arrangements, psychiatrists are paid 135% of the equivalent Medicare fee. But the AMA argues that's still below the regular fee, and psychiatrists are not allowed to charge a gap for veterans who hold a white card.
People do need to understand that private medical practice is a form of small business with substantial costs, and with the policies of governments from both sides of politics to freeze the money going back to patients. This is coming home to roost. We need to fix it. We need to look at ways of fixing it quick.
A 2014 study by the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare found the risk of suicide for young 18 to 24-year-old veterans almost twice that of other men of the same age. It's why Brian Hardigan wants the Department of Veteran Affairs to fix the system.
What if a desperate guy rang up that doctor and got a knockback like that? What if that desperate guy was on the verge of suicide and he was told no DVA allowed? And that's a very scary prospect.
Army veteran Brian Hartigan ending that report from Connie Aegis. And if you or anyone you know need help, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14.